We're going to talk about three things: rest, peace, and reconciliation. And I'm going to give you the word pictures for those things. But I want to start out with going to Matthew 11 and verse 28. This is a really well-known verse, but the first thing that I see about really understanding what the shepherd is that you have to come to the shepherd. He says in Matthew 11, I'm going to read the message. This is really a neat translation of this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Jesus said, come and, you know, learn from me that I'm meek and lowly in my heart. And you will find rest, right? But I love how it says that. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's a really cool phrase. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. I think there's people, you know, everywhere who are crying out for wanting to know how to rest. And in Psalm 23, it says, he causes me to lie down. And that the thing about sheep, that I was describing is that they, unless they feel safe, they don't want to lie down. Unless they're actually fed, they don't want to lie down. But even after they lie down, sometimes they start complaining, because if they're lying down and then they all of a sudden they start looking all around them, they go, oh, there's wolves out there. There's wolves out there. And they start verbalizing and talking about the enemy that surrounds them. Whereas in order to rest, there's a word for rest in Aramaic. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it has an action behind it, is to drop down, get settled, but then stop speaking. Stop speaking about the wolves. See? In order to have true rest, we cannot be always talking about the adversary did this, the evil one's causing that, this is what's going on, it's so bad out there, look at what's happening, it's just terrible. Blah, 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 right? I mean, it's endless. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So to drop down, get settled, and stop speaking. That's one of the really key things to have rest. And what rest does, it talks about it, and we don't have time to look at it, but in Hebrews 3 and 4, it talks about there remaineth a rest to the people of God. And there's a lot of keys in there about resting. And one of them says, let us labor to enter into his rest. So there's a part we have to do. We have to drop down and get settled. Take a deep breath. Go. Okay. I'm safe. I've got the shepherd. He's watching over me. He's tending me. He's feeding me. He's leading me to the still waters. Ah, the water. I was going to tell you about the water, right? Okay. It kind of goes along with the same passage that's in Psalm 1, where it talks about delighting yourself in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that has fruit in its season, right? Well, that's not this rushing river, because sheep don't like rushing rivers either. They like quiet streams, but they also don't like stagnant streams, like a stagnant pool. They'll stick up their nose at it and go, what kind of water is that? Anyway, if we delight ourselves in the word and in the law of the Lord, then we become like a tree. And this picture is about how we are like a tree in a garden. And it's an oriental garden where the gardeners set up irrigation ditches all around the whole garden so that with his foot, he could exactly put the right amount of water that tree needed. Now, water in the word represents spiritual things, spiritual life. And what the shepherd does is he makes sure that we have the exact right amount of water and what kind of water. And see, because it's God working in Christ, energizing the spirit in you. And that gives you this spiritual life so you can flourish. And whatsoever he does, he will prosper. So the picture of the tree in Psalm 1 is a similar kind of thing as we're talking about with the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep to the green pastures, but he leads them to the water. But it's not just any old water. It's the right water. Okay, so now the word picture for peace, because when you are rested, when you come to be shepherded by the shepherd, and he says, I will rest you. I will cause you to rest, right? Okay, got that part, right? And that gives you peace, which I forget who was sharing about it, but about shalom, right? Shalom is the Hebrew word, and shalama is the Aramaic word. And so it has sheen, lamed, and mem. Those are the three letters. The sheen means fullness. The lamed is a picture like this. It's a picture of a shepherd's staff. And it means shepherding. And the mem is, you write it like this, like a squiggle. So it even looks like water. Do this. That's really going to feel like water. Anyway, so the word picture for peace is the full shepherding to the water. Because shalom kind of peace is this completeness. There's not just an absence of strife. There is a wholeness inside that comes when we have shalom or shalama. And that kind of peace is what it talks about in Philippians 4, where, here, I'm going to read it from the Aramaic. Philippians 4. And starting in verse 4. Let's just read this whole passage here. Rejoice in our Lord at all times. And again, I say rejoice. And let your meekness or your forbearance, your moderation be known unto all, to everyone. Our Lord is near. Do not be distressed about anything. About what? About what? About what? Whoa, okay. But at all times, by prayer and by petition and with thanksgiving, your requests should be made known before God. All right. So it's saying, don't be distressed. Don't be like that sheep that's wandering around. Don't be like the sheep that's going ba, ba, ba about every problem that there is and how sad they are and how much their life is full of stress. And check out those wolves out there. See what they're doing. Do not be distressed about anything. Okay, then verse 7 is, and the peace, the shalom or the shalama of God, that is greater than all knowledge, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. So what peace does, what this peace ends up doing, because when you are shepherded to the water and the water satisfies you and you are full and full to the brim of the spiritual life that you need to have right now, that includes God's wisdom, his knowledge, all the manifestations, hope, every good thing that comes by way of the Spirit is what we have that gives us that peace, okay? When we have it, and we do have it, right, then it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I always used to think of that as sort of a garrison, or, you know, I was inside and God was just protecting me. And that is part of it. But I listened to a podcast recently by Graham Cook, and he was talking about how rest and peace, and he was using this verse in Philippians, are really a weapon. They're like a guard. So picture you have your heart and your mind are right here. Then what peace does, it stands as a guard at the gate of your heart and your mind and says, who goes there? What's the password? What kind of distressing thought is that? Hey, you can't come in here. And that peace guards us in the sense where you say, no, you can't come in. I'm not going to allow those distressing thoughts, those anxious thoughts into my mind and my heart. It will guard it. But we have to stand there, see, and actively do that and say, no, you are not allowed in here. And then it acts like a guard, see? It acts like the guard with the weapon at the gate that has the uniform on saying, sorry, you don't know the password. You can't come in here. And those anxious thoughts like that then just kind of go by the board, because we realize that we have all the spiritual water we need. What would we ever be lacking? We can come to the shepherd all the time and ask him, help me understand this. Help me understand what's going on. Give me wisdom. Show me what I should be thinking about. Help me to deal with whatever, you know, things are pressing in on me. And I have to tell you, my life over the last couple of years has not been a picnic. There have been a lot of pressures and a lot of things. My husband got sick and a lot of different things going on. But I have been working this and really, really trying to work on this idea of what rest and peace really looks like. How should it look in my life? It's one thing to be up here getting to like tell these beautiful word pictures and all this great stuff. But the real, when it really gets down to it, is like, this has got to be our life. You understand what I mean? I mean, you can talk about Greek, you can talk about Aramaic, you can talk about what it means, you can just theologian type of stuff all day long. But it really comes down to it, it's like, what does that mean to me? How does it change me to know this? Well, what it did for me was to realize that God is always there. And the Lord Jesus is always there. He never stops being a shepherd. He never does. And he never stops feeding us. He never stops tending us. He never stops watching us. He never stops healing us. He never stops teaching us. Like Kevin was talking about, we need more teachers, but we need more shepherds too. And what I'm going to share with you about reconciliation, you'll see that we can do these things for other people too. But when it rests, true rest, that dropping down where you got to zip look, and you're not talking about the problems anymore. You're talking about the goodness of God, the grace of God, the hope of God, everything else under the sun except for what the problem is. And you really know that the fullness of the water that you're receiving right now, and even right this very moment, it's like God is imparting spiritual understanding to you. Just like I read at the first verse about what David did. Because he was a shepherd to his people because he gave them understanding. Then we can lie down. Then we can have this wholeness inside where stuff just doesn't ruffle us. And that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, right? I mean, you guys came and, you know, end up having a tire go out and all this crazy stuff happens in life. I mean, crazy stuff. But in the middle of that, when we come to be shepherded by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a rest and this wholeness where you actually feel shepherded. You know what I'm talking about? Tell me you know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. All right, so I love that idea about how to use rest as a weapon. So now I want to look at some things about reconciliation. And reconciliation is a noun that's actually built on the word for shepherding, to shepherd. Remember I said to shepherd is the man watching, right? Well, reconciliation is what comes from the man watching, or you observe what the man is watching. And reconciliation is one of those words that is, I'd say, semi-difficult to explain or understand. It's a churchy word. Churchy words. They're theological words that people throw around. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard it 100 times, but it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, anyway, I want to start in Romans 5. So the word picture for reconciliation is actually the full shepherding. Romans 5 and verse 10, and I'm going to read from my translation. In verse 10, it says, "For if when we were enemies, God was reconciled," and that's this word rhea, "with us by the death of his son, then how much more will we, by his reconciliation," there's the noun, "live by his life." And so already we're going like, oh my gosh, I don't know what you're talking about. What is reconciliation? But listen, just go on and read 11 too. "Not only so, but also we boast in God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received reconciliation." So get that point right there first. We have now received reconciliation. But now take it and substitute the word shepherding. We have now received the full shepherding. We have it. It's no longer that, you know, David is out with a few sheep and a king over Israel, and that's all he was shepherding. We have the shepherd who has now given us a completed reconciliation or a full shepherding that we can have 24/7, all the time, and it's for every single person who is born again. That should be like going like, yay! Now, normally when people talk about reconciliation, they talk about, you know, bringing somebody back to God. And, you know, and in this verse it says we were enemies. And so the first part of reconciliation, the first part of shepherding is that we have to get altered. We have to get brought back to God. We were enemies before we were born again. We did not have a relationship with God. We had no idea who he was and what he could do. So we had to be brought back. And there's a couple different examples of how, you know, you can understand the word reconcile. It's kind of like, if you had a car and it's out of alignment, the car is always veering off this way. It keeps going that way, right? Well, the suspension and all the stuff, and I don't know how they do it, but it has to get altered so that it will drive straight. Well, we had to get altered. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And we had to be made alive and be given the Spirit so that we could have this kind of life. The deliverer. Remember I told you Jesus is a deliverer, right? We had to be made right. Another way I was thinking an example of, you know, getting altered is where you have an iPod and then you download all these new songs and stuff and you want to sync your iPod. Well, you have to connect it. Right? And then all the stuff goes into the iPod and then you have the songs available, right? So you're syncing something. And that's what God did with us. He synced himself to us by way of his Spirit. Because God is Spirit, he's holy, and then he gave us the gift of Holy Spirit so we'd have this incredible connection. That's like Zoom, it's faster than an iPod. Or any kind of download. I don't care what kind of download. This is like instant download. As soon as we confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, it's like zip. You have the full package of everything you will ever need spiritually in your entire life. Woo! So we were made right. I mean, even just this first aspect of being put right is so powerful. It's like we've been given, I don't even know how to explain it in some ways. It's that one, you've been made right. So I could also go and tell you the whole picture about righteousness and justification and what those are too, but we've been made right. We've been connected to God and we've been put back in alignment with him. So that's the first part of reconciliation. That's what the shepherd has to do. He has to take us out of being wandering around in the world and bring us to a new pasture and say, here you go. You are now in a family and you are in a body and you will never be alone again, ever. Because not only will I be there, but the Lord will be there and my Spirit will guide you. And you never have to be afraid again. So, you know, this whole idea of being put right is really great. But now the second part of the shepherding is that, and that's kind of why I wrote this book, it's a whole allegory about a fence. There's a letter in the Semitic alphabet that is called Ket, and it's a picture of a fence. And so when I first started learning all this, I started seeing all these words that were fence words. They were like about the fence. I was like, wow, what's this thing about a fence? And what the first words that I learned were about, the fence word is, mercy is a fence word. Loving kindness is a fence word. Compassion, like the bowels of compassion. We were talking about the other day. That is a fence word. And love is a fence word. Love, the word picture, is the fence of the family. So God, it's like an imaginary fence. Okay, here's a picture. Every believer all around the world is inside the pasture. Okay? They're inside the fence of God's love, his compassion, his loving kindness, his mercy. And so all these other words like reconciliation and righteousness and peace and all this other stuff are things that you get when you go inside the fence. You come to the shepherd. You get to go lie down inside the fence. And then that's where the peace is. That's where the water is. That's where the green pastures are. That's where everything is inside the fence. So when we, okay, this is a, you know, just sidebar here, but this is what happens to a lot of Christians is they talk about Jesus. They talk about God's love. And it's like they're standing outside the fence and admiring it. Look at this beautiful fence. Oh, my gosh. The love of God is just so amazing. Oh, I could talk about it for hours about God loves you. God sent his son for you. And they believe all that and they are born again. But they have not gone inside. Because when you go inside is when you have the relationship and the intimacy with God as the shepherd and the Lord as the shepherd. And you can't get it by looking from the outside and just admiring it. You see what I mean? We have to go inside. Okay, so when we go inside, you go back to that verse about when we were enemies, God was reconciled with us by the death of his son. Then how much more will we, by his shepherding, live by his life? See, we will have life when we go to actually receive the full shepherding, the reconciling. And part of this reconciling is that we get satisfied with really cool pasture. I talked about the water, remember? The rest. But probably the biggest thing is that when you go inside the pasture and you go inside the fence, then there is a, like you feel cared for. There's that beautiful verse in Hebrews 13 about how God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in Aramaic, that word means my hands will never relax hold of you. They'll never hang down and do nothing. They'll never hang down and do nothing. God says he will never leave us or forsake us. That means he always holds our hands. Always. Again, see, it's this amazing thing that God is so individual with us, where he's my shepherd, but he's our shepherd, see, because he'll never let go of your hand either. And that's what we have to share with people, is about this really amazing shepherd we have and how we can come to him. Verse 11 there said, not only so, but we boast in God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received the shepherding. Now, does that verse make a little more sense? We can boast about our Lord Jesus Christ because he's the shepherd. He's like, he's done all these amazing things. And the coolest part is that he is still doing it right now. Every single thing that we need. Every day, he's tending us, he's feeding us, he's watching us, he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's protecting us, he's holding our hand. What is it that you need? We don't have to be a crazy sheep that's going bah, bah, bah about the problem. All we have to do is hold up our hand and go, yes, I want your shepherding. I'm coming to you. Teach me, guide me, show me, lead me, help me. And then we can boast about that. And especially we can boast because we were among the wolves. We were in enemy territory, right? And now he's brought us into this incredibly beautiful green pasture. And when I look out on all of you, I just get in awe because I see that the family of God that is the green pasture. It's the beauty of how each one of us are so unique and so beautiful and have so much to contribute. And we need all of us and all of us together. And that means, hey, all the believers that are in Africa, that are in India, just pick a country. Not just the United States, right? All around the whole world, we are doing this together. So now go to the famous chapter, the section about reconciliation, and this will actually make sense to you. 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to read it from my translation again. Okay. Verse 17. Everyone who is in Christ is therefore a new creation. We have a new pastor. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new from God, who reconciled, who shepherded us to himself in Christ, and has given to us the ministry or the service of reconciliation. So not only is God and the Lord our shepherd for us, but he has actually given to us the service of shepherding. Okay, keep on reading. Everything has become new. God was in Christ. This is verse 19. For God was in Christ, the one who reconciled the world with his majesty and did not count to them their sins. And he placed in us the word of reconciliation. So everything became new. We were made right. We got a new pasture, new food, new care, new trust, new shepherd. And he's given us this incredible privilege to turn around and shepherd others. But he didn't do it without giving us the word of shepherding. The word that people need to hear right now is what he gives to us. It was pretty majestic of God to, you know, bring us into this new pasture and give us all this great stuff, right? But we're not supposed to be just lying down all the time doing nothing. That's okay, because we need that a lot of times. But what we really are supposed to be doing is verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ, and it is as if God were begging you by way of us on behalf of Christ, and therefore we beg you, be reconciled to God. Come, be shepherded by God. See what reconciliation is and what the ministry of reconciliation is, to say, you can come to the shepherd too. Come on, join us. It's so fantastic. You'll never lack for anything. What is it you need? See, come on. It's great over here. We have this word, you know, and then so much, right? Just so much about who we are in Christ and what we've been given and the power we have and the love we have and the hope we have. I mean, we have a word, the word of the full shepherding of God. That we can give to other people. And it's just a simple message. It's like, come, you can come to the shepherd too. Come on, join me. You know what? He never lets go of your hand, ever. Would you like that? I do. I want it. Okay, now look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's just look at a few of the verses that use the word reconciliation, and then you'll see it. Colossians 1, verse 19. For in him, in Christ, he desired all fullness to live, and by way of him to reconcile or to shepherd everything to him. It's God's desire that every man get shepherded to him. Every man. That's his desire. And then it says, he made peace by the blood of his cross, by his hands, whether in earth or in heaven. there's the peace again, the full shepherding to the water. Because we've been reconciled into this beautiful body, we also get to turn around and shepherd others. And we get to call them and say, come, be shepherded by God. Come, guess what you'll get when you come inside the fence? Peace. Wholeness inside. Colossians goes on in verse 22 of chapter 1 there. It goes, by the body of his flesh and by his death, so that he would establish you before him, holy, without blemish, and without blame. This is another result of being shepherded by God and being reconciled to him, is that we actually can be holy. We can be holy, whole and holy, and without blemish and without blame, where we don't have to carry those sins anymore. We don't have to carry the disappointment of being in enemy territory and having this hostility to God. He's now actually our Father. And Jesus is our Lord and our Master and our guide and our deliverer and our breaker and our, I mean, then you start going and seeing all his other titles are the other things that he does while we're inside the fence. Shepherding is just one of the things, or one way to explain it. Ephesians chapter 2, look at that. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who made the two of them one and has broken down the wall that stood in the middle. See, sheep have a lot of trouble getting along with each other. And the Jews and the Gentiles were the worst case because they despised each other. The Jews thought that they were the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the Gentiles thought they were. And so they just, you know, were always butting heads together. But they were completely enemies, and God shepherded them together. And of those two groups, he made one new man, one body, and gave every single one, whether they were a Jew or a Gentile, gave them the fullness of the Spirit of Christ so that they could have peace together. They would be able to come to the shepherd together and receive the shepherding together. He took the wall that separated them down in the temple. So verse 15 goes on and says, so he broke down the conflict by his flesh, and he brought to an end the law of commandments with its commandments, so that from the two of them, from these two enemy groups, he would create in himself one new man, and he made a peace treaty. And he reconciled, he shepherded the two of them with God in one body, and by his cross, he destroyed the conflict. So what kind of conflict could we ever have in our lives, even between each other, that God has not already provided for in this full shepherding? There is nothing. And when we come to the shepherd to seek what his wisdom is, what his understanding is, what his guidance is, then there's nothing that can't be reconciled, put back right, but then also so that it can continue to flourish and grow and have this wonderful water, you know, that we get to drink all the time. When you go back to 2 Corinthians and just remind you that again, we are ambassadors for Christ in that we have this message, right, that say, come, be shepherded by God. We lead people, not to us, see? Yes, I'm a teacher. I would love to teach. I want to teach. I want to share all the time, morning, noon, and night. You know, but people don't need to come to me. They need to come to the shepherd, to God, and get it directly. See? And that's our message, is you can understand this stuff. You really can. It's not that hard. It's not nearly as hard as we make it. Bah, 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 bah. See? Oh, my gosh. Okay, another passage is Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the flock by the blood of the everlasting covenant, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the great shepherd of the flock. And then this is what he does. Verse 21. He matures you in every good work to do his will and to perform in us what is pleasing before him by way of Jesus Christ. By the way, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But part of the shepherding is this maturing thing. It's like growing up. There's so many, you know, you could do a whole nother teaching about growing up into him, growing up into Christ, becoming like Christ. Growing is part of what sheep do, right? They start a little baby lamb and then, you know, they're supposed to grow. That's what we're supposed to do too. We're not supposed to stay babies all the time. We're supposed to be able to grow up into full, mature, peaceful, restful, hopeful, have all the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, joy, love. I mean, you can go on and on and on. But when someone looks at us, they should see that. Wow, here's a person who has been shepherded. Because look, they're glowing. They have Christ in them. They know that they have Christ in them. They have the word of the shepherding on their lips all the time. Where you go to them and you say, hey, what you been learning? Blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you about rest. It is the coolest thing in the world. Okay, so I told you at the beginning, said that when you know something about a title of Jesus, so we learn about the shepherd today, but when you know what that title is and what it means, and I trust you've gotten a glimpse, you know, of the fullness of that. But then you can use it in prayer, in your prayer life. So the word picture actually for prayer is to seek the shepherding of the strong one. When we pray, what we're doing is we're going before the shepherd to say, hey, can you, you know, give me some rest? I need an answer here. I don't know which direction to go there. That's the kind of prayer. And then you can pray that prayer instead of just signing it off in the name of Jesus Christ, like it's a mantra. You can actually thoughtfully go, I am praying this in the name of the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for me. He's the door of the sheep. He guides me. He leads me. He teaches me. It's in his name. I told you everything has to bow to that name, right? Everything. There's no greater name. But when we use a name like that, then all of a sudden it changes our prayer life. It changes it. It's not just like, Father, I really need this. And I don't understand. Blah, 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 blah. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So what I wanted to do just at the end of the time here is just to think about how you would pray and actually apply this. Like, what is it that you need? Do you need wisdom? So right now, I mean, would anybody like wisdom? Okay. So right now, just close your eyes and just say, because we pray to the Father in the name, right? Okay, so Father, God, I need wisdom about this situation that I'm involved in right now, and I'm asking you for it. I do trust that you have that wisdom available for me. I know that you will pour it out to me because you are so loving and so kind, and that you really do hold my hand and you never let go. And so I'm petitioning you right now to just pour that out to me. And so you fill in the blank of what it is that you want to have wisdom regarding. And I'm coming to you as the shepherd, and I'm seeking your shepherding right now. And it's in the name of the great shepherd, Jesus, that I pray and ask this for you, from you right now. Amen. So you see how it works? Now, you can do it for anything that you need. Do you need rest? Okay. Before I came here, I really needed rest. And so I was working on this and, you know, thinking about it and asking how, you know, how is this practical? Like, how can I really like live this out? And so I started praying in the name of the shepherd to ask for rest. And he really taught me. He showed me that stuff about dropping down and stopping speaking, because I was saying, I'm stressed out. Like, look, zip your lip. Oh, okay. That's a great answer. So what else kind of things would you like to pray for that now that you've seen what the shepherd does? Anybody? What would you like to pray for? Faithfulness? That you are faithful, you mean? Okay. Right. Would you like to try praying like this? Okay.
Father, thank you, God, that we're able, that I'm able to trust in you and trust that I have a better relationship than how I attach the faith to the words of the Spirit. And I'm faithful to seek that out.
In the name of the shepherd, amen. I have another one. It's like, I know that at the moment I'm aware of a conflict that are between two believers, and they're wonderful people, both of them, but they just can't seem to get reconciled. So I decided to start praying in the name of the shepherd that they would be reconciled, you know, that they could have their differences get worked out. And it hasn't come to pass yet, but that's another example of how you can use it. See, where now I have a great deal of confidence that, see, God and the Lord Jesus will go to work as the shepherd to reconcile those people. I don't have to do it. See, where I always thought I did. It's like, oh, it's what you teach. It's what you speak. It's what you want to, you know, talk about or whatever. And, you know, let's sit down and have a big counseling session. And there's nothing wrong with all that. But our message is, come be shepherded by God. So the message to someone when you're in a conflict situation with someone is, hey, let's go to the shepherd together. Let's come and ask him what his wisdom is. Let's have some understanding. Let's really seek the shepherding of the strong one. So that's basically what I wanted to share this morning, and I love you guys so much. Thank you very much.